This week we are, as I said earlier, we're kicking off a sermon series called Why We Gather. Why is it that we come together like this on a weekly basis? Why is it that we leave our homes, we wake up in the mornings, we get dressed up in our Sunday best, and we come into these doors to sing together and to worship together and to pray together? Why is it that we do that today? Even after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years even, after they began to gather together as the body of Christ, we still, all across the world, gather together in the name of Jesus Christ to worship together. The disciples, right after Jesus had left them, right after he had sent his helper, the Holy Spirit, they needed to gather. There was a deep need within their souls for them to gather. They needed to teach one another. These were baby Christians. These were people who didn't know the gospel. They didn't have the New Testament that they could read and study. All they had was Old Testament in a synagogue setting where they could come and enjoy and be there with temple. They could hear the word of God proclaimed in the Old Testament. But they didn't walk with Jesus like the apostles had. Many of these came to faith through Pentecost, where they received the power of the Spirit, and the Spirit dwelled richly within them, and their hearts burned for conviction of what they had done to Jesus, and they were started to follow this church, this new thing that was happening. They called it the Way. And so they needed to gather because the apostles needed to share stories. And so every time they would come together, they would share stories of things that Jesus had taught them. They would share together in the way of Jesus and how Jesus walked and what Jesus did. And they were imparting this story, this beautiful message, onto the next generation of Christians. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Not just fellowship like we often do to break bread together, to eat together, to have potluck meal together, but fellowship that was real sacrificial, that was, hey, I'm in a covenant with you, and I will support you in anything that you need, and you'll support me as well. It was this fellowship that was give and take, this holy union of gathering of the body. They would break bread together, meaning they would participate in the sacraments. This was an exciting, young energy of the church coming together under this new thing. It felt rich and full and vibrant. It was like the honeymoon stage when you get married, right? You don't have two nickels to rub together, but it's okay because you have each other, right? And you're willing to do anything and everything together. You're always with one another and you're running together, but it's before the communication issues start to bubble up, right? It's before the conflict starts to happen, and everything is just so good. They loved to meet together. This was the beginning. It was fresh. It was vibrant. What about today? 2,000 years later, they needed to meet together because there was persecution, and they needed to stand together, link arms with one another so that they might be stronger together and encourage one another. When was the last time you were persecuted for your faith? Like really persecuted, where you could potentially die for your faith? It's not something that we experience today. We can hear all about the apostles' teaching on podcasts from our living room. We can get all of the information about all of the things, all of the theology and all of that through TikTok reels, through YouTube videos. We can do it all from the comfort of our couch. Do we still need to gather together today in the 21st century? Is there still a need for the church, the gathered body of believers, the ecclesia? All of us, we would answer yes. That's why you're here today. But the unfortunate reality is that there's an epidemic happening in our nation called the rise of the nuns. Not like the praying nuns in the Catholic faith, but the N-O-N-E-S. Those who have no religious affiliation. Gallup poll did a study on the American population. In 1937, 73% of America said that they belonged to a religious order, to a group of people who come together to worship together. They belonged. In 1999, 70% of America said that they belonged to a worshiping congregation. In 2018, 47% of America said that they belonged. Friends, there are so many people who say that this doesn't matter. This gathering of believers doesn't mean anything. And so I think it's so important that we ask the question, why do we gather? Because if we lose the why, it's not long before we lose the value of the thing that we do. If we lose the why, lose the intention behind what we do, eventually we will begin to lose, this thing will lose value in our lives. And if we lose value, if this loses value, then something else will sneak in and find priority. So why do we gather? Why do we sing? Why do we pray? Why do we give offering? Why do we take communion? Why do we baptize our young? Why do we do all of this? Over the next several 10 weeks, we're going to dive into this. We're going to piece out every part of why we gather and what we do and how we do it and why there's such a deep intention to it. But it begins right here in Colossians 1, 24 through 29. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you just to turn to that. I'm not going to make you stand again. But this is Paul speaking to this new formed church in Colossae. It's a merging of Jewish believers and believers and followers of the way and Gentiles who had not been folded in, not been grafted in. Most of us would be Gentiles, and so thanks be to God that they folded in together, because we wouldn't be here if they hadn't. And Paul is speaking to them, pleading to them why it is important for them to gather together, to partake in this mystery of faith in which we lean into today. He says this, Colossians 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of this body, which is the church. In other words, I rejoice because I am suffering for the body of Christ. Like, everything that I'm doing, the persecution I'm receiving, is so that the body of Christ might be strengthened. Verse 25, I've become a servant by commission that God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullest, in its fullness. God sent me, in other words, to show you the fullness of the gospel. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the people of God. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. The mystery of the gospel is Christ in you. Hear those words. The hope of glory. Verse 28, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ or perfect in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ has so powerfully worked in me. Why do we gather? Church, we gather to get a glimpse of the mystery of Christ. And that is Christ in you. The TNIV, the Texas New International Version, would say Christ in y'all. That you is a plural possessive. Christ in y'all. In other words, I cannot know the fullness of the gospel unless I am in relationship with y'all. I can't know the fullness of the gospel unless I see Christ working in you, Barrett McNabb. Unless I am in relationship with you, unless I'm rubbing shoulders with you, unless I see your faith, I cannot know the fullness of the gospel of Christ. You cannot do this faith on your own. You cannot do it in isolation. It is Christ in y'all. As I look out amongst this congregation, I see Christ in y'all. Dave and Janet Amon, the Madres, Steve and Patty, Becky, those who started this church from the very beginning, the step into faith that started all of this. You can teach an old dog new tricks is what I learned. That their faith can be revived in stepping into God's faithfulness. Christ in y'all. Bill, I've grown in my faith by watching you study with vigor the Word of God. It makes me prepare in a different way than I normally would. I grow because of Christ in you. Jill, I grow as you show me the heart of Jesus and what it looks like to be compassionate for other people. Kristen, you embody eternal optimism and hope, and yet in the same household, Vance, ruthless pragmatism. All in the same household, the body of Christ, different parts coming together in faith. Abby, you show me how to fiercely fight for your family, just the way God fights and pursues the Israelite people and you and I. Chelsea, you have stretched me in how I listen to God. Katie, you show the fruit of the spirit of joy every time you walk into the room. June, your curiosity and your seeking after God. I see Christ in you. Barrett, your fight to pursue that which you believe in, to fight against all odds, to pursue the standards and the truths that you believe in as you searched after truth in your pursuit this last fall or last spring. Jerry, your perpetual desire to pour yourself out for those around you and to encourage everyone that you come in contact with. Dan and Kimberly, your love for others, your heart for discipling the next generation is truly a gift. Ashley, I see as you pour out your heart in worship, every time I stand up here and watch you worship, it draws me deeper into the presence of God. Josh, the way you use your gifts to align with the Spirit and discern our offertory each week based on what you hear in worship and what God speaks to you. The Stones, your generosity and your hospitality, your love for my family and your sacrifice for those who are in need as you serve with TRT and show Jesus through a servant's heart. As I look out across this congregation, I could go on and on about each and every one of you. Christ in y'all. That's why we gather, because we can't fully know Christ unless we know one another, unless we know the faith that our brothers and sisters carry. We strengthen one another. The second reason that Paul says that we gather is that we gather in the presence of God to be transformed. He says in verse 28, he is the one that we proclaim, admonishing everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present fully, so we may present every single one of us fully matured before God. That we may present the whole body of Christ perfect before God. To this end, Paul says, I strenuously contend with all of my energy that Christ so powerfully works in me. Church, we gather together, all of us running after the same thing, a pursuit of holiness. That you and I would look more like Christ when we leave this place today. That when we gather for our band groups, that we would be more like Christ at the end of them than we were at the beginning. That we would be transformed by the presence of God that we experience together in a full and rich way. This is embracing the holy mystery that happens when we gather. The way that our spirits minister to others' spirits. The way that we sit in the same room and are uplifted even if no one ever speaks to us. There's a mystery. There's something the Holy Spirit is doing in here that we can see and perceive, but a whole nother thing that's happening below the surface that we can't even begin to fathom or imagine that defies all of our logic. But when we gather together in the holy mystery of God, we together are moving as a unit closer to maturity in Christ. Every time that we come and sit. Every time that we sit around a table and discuss scripture, every time we gather to pray together or worship with all that we have before the throne room of God, we move one another further and further into the holy mystery of Christ. Within the church, everyone does this together. Everyone is admonished. We all need to be admonished here and there. Everyone is admonished. Everyone is taught with all wisdom so that everyone might be fully mature in Christ. We are inclusive as a body of Christ. There is nobody that we will turn away from our doors and say, you cannot come in here. No matter what they look like, no matter who they are, no matter what their backstory is, they are all welcome to come into this space, but we claim this space as a place of transformation. We don't want to remain where we are as a body of Christ. We want to be transformed. So we come into this space with arms open wide to say, God, mold me, shape me, transform me. Whatever you want to do with me, do it. Because I am yours and you are mine. So this thing that was an idol in my life, take it out so that I might take up you. Anyone is welcome into this space, but the call to transformation is for all of us. That we will be changed, molded, shaped, and transformed through the body of Christ. Church, I want to call you just into deeper fellowship. If you've been an attender, a casual attender here on Sunday mornings, I want to encourage you to plug in. To grow deeper, to rub shoulders more, to sharpen iron with iron as we live life together, as we learn to fellowship together, as we grow in study. Come to Brown Bag Bible Study on Wednesday afternoons, whether on Zoom or in person, and we wrestle with Scripture together. Join a Wednesday morning band group at Adair Kitchen at 7 a.m. An evening men's and women's band meeting. What's the time that those meet? 6:30, women's. We'll get all this information out, but join one of these band groups that meet together to sharpen one another, to lift one another up in faith. Join our supper club so that you can get to know one another more deeply. Join Sunday school so that you can learn together and be stretched together and grow together. Look at what it looks like to serve on a ministry team in missions or evangelism or prayer or children's or youth ministry or communications or whatever it is to rub shoulders with one another, to pour out yourself in the life of the church so that you might find yourselves being molded and shaped and transformed, matured in your faith. The saying goes, you get out what you put in. If you put your full self in, then the process of transformation that the Holy Spirit will begin to do will be whole self transformation. The more you give to the kingdom of God, the more it gives back to you, 2, 3, 4, or as the parable of the sower says, 30, 60, or 100-fold in fruit. This is why we gather, because we need one another. From the littlest of the littles to the oldest of the olds, we need one another.